It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Never very much longer.
I've got to keep control. Jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in time. And it's just where we stand. There are many times I've been saying. There's still a time warp again. There's still a time warp again.
It's so dreamy. Of fantasy free. So you can't see me? No, not at all. In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention, well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into a time flip,
and nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're on the sedation. Jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in tight. But it's a pelvic thrust that really drives you insane. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. If she's gone to stay, ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away, and I know, 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 hey, I'll leave the young thing alone, but ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's house just
JCD.
Hello there.
What's going on? Not
much.
How you feeling?
I feel okay.
I was in the hospital with my father all weekend.
Oh, what happened?
He had a really bad bleed, and then it turned out it was a 5-centimeter cancer in the colon.
Oh, God, that's not anything good.
Nope, no good. Very bad.
How old is he?
83. So, but they think they got it all, and there's nothing else around the body, and I'm waiting on one more report, but the good news is that things are good right now. He's recovering, you know, so that's the good news. But it was a long weekend nonetheless.
Yep. I'll have the newsletter thing. It's going to take me another day.
That's fine. No problem. Let me just take a couple settings here. Home. Okay. 3713. Okay. That's good. Let me get one more thing up and I'll be ready. Let me make sure I have it. Okay. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the May 12th show, 2026.
Yoo-hoo. Wow. Big deal. But it is kind of fascinating that once again, here we are again mid-year. You know, it's
yeah, we're getting there.
It's getting close. I have I told you about my dad in the hospital. I just got diagnosed with a torn meniscus.
A meniscus.
My right knee.
Is this from playing paddleball?
Pickleball. Well, it's a combination of things. I'll tell you where it started. A few years ago.
I'm sorry. I said paddleball.
You said paddleball.
Yeah.
No. Handball, paddleball. Remember the paddleball back in the days? You had that little pink ball, I think it was. Or was it pink ball?
Play handball? That's handball. The game.
Yeah, that's my dad used to play handball. That hurts.
Handball is the real game.
Yeah. We used to play stoop ball. My dad played stoop ball. That was it was a weird thing with a wiffle ball bat or something. Anyway, it is probably from pickleball to a degree, but also a number of years ago, maybe 4 years ago, someone who I knew for many, many years, but kind of never met him, knew him from the podcast circuit and all that. He says, "Hey, I'm coming down to Miami. Let's go for a walk." I'm like, "A walk? Okay." So I met him down in Miami on the boardwalk at about 6:30 in the morning, drove down, and we walked. And we walked. And we walked. And I said, "You know, I got to tell you, honest with you, we're walking. Eventually, we got to go the other way. And if we keep walking, it's going to be a long haul back." So he said, "Good idea. We'll turn around." I think we went about 5 miles or so. And my knee was like halfway through the way back. I'm like, "Ow, what's up with that?"
Mm.
And so since then, it's been a problem. But, you know, a day after I do some exercise, whatever, goes away. And I do squats and I do all sorts of stuff. I don't know what went on the last number of weeks. And then into last Saturday, and I finally said, "Okay, you know, I was playing pickleball." I said, "That's enough." And since then, it's been horrible pain. I go to the guy, like, "Can I get an MRI?" "Sure." And he says, "Yep, sure enough, you have two things. One, you have a tear in your meniscus, which is not a problem. It's not life-threatening. It's not, it's easy. They call it a scope. They put it in there. They do a little bit of a repair, very easy surgery. They do a little, but I also have something called discoid meniscus, which is, I guess, an odd-shaped disc meniscus or something, which is then prone for that, so that's got to be kind of cleaned up a little bit too." So ever since he told me that, the pain has tripled.
That's funny.
I think now
a lot of people are suggestible.
I think that's exactly what happened. So now the other problem is, John, I'll end on this on my other health ailment, my left hip hurts. Because I think that I'm...
You're compensating.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's fun getting old.
Getting old.
The beginning of UBI is a big thing that's going on right now as a response from the AI boom. We're going to have to dig down and talk about what's going on in South Korea. There was something just the last couple of days that hit the wires. And they're suggesting maybe a little bit of this universal basic income.
I noticed that cropping up too.
Yep. And it's going to probably crop up more. We could talk about this in a little bit, but probably crop up even more as the election cycle gets closer and closer. Because if UBI is not the populist line item, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's populist, but it's kind of bordering on communist.
Oh, no question. There's no question about that. It's terrible. Let's talk also about Black in Packaging. You know that song, Black in Packaging? Black in Packs! You know that song, AC/DC? Black in Packaging, byproduct of the war. Insights in the consumer confidence reports, because there's a lot of conflicting discussions that I've been looking at recently. You know, we saw another number come out of the University of Michigan just this week, the preliminary for May. And that was abysmal. And then we saw others. And I was thinking, why am I seeing disparities in not investor confidence, consumer confidence numbers, right?
Yeah.
One to the next. So I think I got to the bottom of that. Yep. Markets up and away. We had a little bit of a drawdown today, ever so slightly. I was almost thinking it was going to go positive by the end of the day from the S&P being down about 1%. I think it finished down 0.25%.
Now the Dow Jones stuff.
Yeah, it was green. We have new inflation data, more coming out tomorrow. We have the circular economy of a great, you're going to love this chart. This is one of those infographics again.
You're getting good at it.
No, I didn't do this one, but this one's great. And some facts on inflation. We had what was called, if you remember, the taco trade. That was the
yeah. Trump always chickens out.
Now we have the nacho trade.
What does that mean?
It's, let me think. It's.
This is, how about not always, oh, not always cheerful, honest. No, I can't give out.
I got it.
Give me a minute. I'd have one.
Not a chance Hormuz opens.
Oh. Yeah, that's because one of the dipshit, excuse me.
Yep.
I was eating something stupidly. In fact, let me get some water.
All right. In the meantime, I'll fill. We're going to stretch. We're going to fill. So we have the taco trade, which was the Trump always chickens out. Now we have the nacho. The question I have on this, whenever your answer is about what you think this is about the dipshit, is why do we have all these Mexican phraseologies?
Oh, that's funny. No, it's the dipshit neocon who wrote an article in The Atlantic pretty much saying that we've lost the war and it's a humiliation. And they're never going to open up Hormuz. Not they figured out they can make money by keeping it closed.
The humiliation thing was
that's where that comes from.
Yeah, well, humiliation was from Germany, and then you saw what happened there. We pulled all these troops out just to spite them because we're not going to be humiliated. No, you can't say we're humiliated. Don't say anything bad about us, and if you do, we're going to punish you. But there is this undercurrent of that concept that's making the rounds as well. That you know, this war cannot be won. It's not even a war. It's something else.
It's just not a war. Who cares if you win, it or not?
Right. Well, because Trump likes to win, and it has to be. You have to come to the conclusion of this thing. But I agree that who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. We'll see. We have the Close to the Pin for Salesforce is now open and ready for your entries. I put that up just, I think, today or yesterday. Now, in terms of the war, by the way, just to be clear, the war is on massive life support. Says the Iranian peace proposal that came back is a piece of garbage. But they want to make a deal. They want to make a deal so bad. They want to make a deal.
Yeah, they want to make a deal so bad they'd make a deal.
Correct. Well, now the discussion, again, it all maneuvers and meanders. The discussion is all about that there are stupid idiot lunatics that are on one side of the Iranian leadership, and there's another more... You know, a good group, a smart group. They want to make the deal. The lunatics, the crazies, they don't. They just so that's what's holding things up. The crazies, they don't want to make a deal. But let's also be. Can we just be honest for 1 second? These guys, these are. I don't care who's running the whole Iranian thing. They have a whole different agenda. They're not. They don't care about lives as much as we do. They don't care about the economy like we do. What do they care about? They care about God, and what God has told them basically is that everybody else is infidels, right? And and to kill them is actually a thing that will get you closer to nirvana. How do you fight something like that?
Well, you don't.
You can't tell them that their God is wrong. How is that going to work?
That's not going to work.
No. You know, so that whole thing, if you're fighting God and they have a deep belief in that, everybody knows this. I'm not going to rehash this point. Point is that WTI crude is now at, let's see where it is exactly. I love honing in on this.
It's 101.
101, is that where it is right now?
I think so.
Let's see. Yep, 101.5. Up. So it's above 100 again. Don't forget, this dropped down last, the last 1 month. It dropped down recently to 94, 92 a couple of days back. Yeah, it was at 90, under 92. And now we're on a climb again. Brent crude is even higher, like 111.
Looking at the chart, it's got an interesting trading chart.
It's definitely on a staircase now, back up, it looks like. If this was no agenda, that would have been that opening sound, by the way, about the show. No agenda, Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, they let it loose. They get down. They go to battle. They get it done on Thursdays and Sundays, each and every week on your favorite podcasting network or live on noagendastream.netcom, something or other.
Noagendastream.com.
There you go. They go into China. China. A lot of going. President Donald Trump has invited executives for some of the biggest U.S. companies, including Tesla, Apple, BlackRock, Boeing. It's like, we're going to have...
Everybody but Jensen Wang.
He's got enough. He's got enough. I think it's like a punishment. Got Goldman Sachs CEO David Solomon.
It's a punishment to go to China?
No, I think that he wants other companies ahead. I think he thinks that NVIDIA's got enough right now. And
I think so, too.
And these other companies can use to pick up the rest. I think this is, if you look at the names, I mean, you got the Qualcomm CEO, Visa, Micron, Meta. This is all, an official was told, this was told by an official who was speaking on condition of anonymity because the list has not been announced. This is not like, hey, by the way, just to let you know.
About leakers.
Tim Cook's going. This is purposefully leaked. This is not a secret thing that was, I mean, come on. This is all, by the way, so that you go over there and you bring the Boeing CEO, and the idea is you have to. By the way, each one of these is this. I think there's an expectation that each one of these is going to announce some kind of something from China.
That's the way he's done it. Yeah. Right. It's a kind of a scam.
You're going to go and you're going to say, you know, Citigroup, we got banking that's going to go in there.
$5 trillion of this. And
yeah.
There's a lot of big numbers will be thrown out.
Yeah. They're going to order a 200 billion Caterpillar trucks.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's also interesting. They bring like Apple.
The model that they use is very repeat. It's repeated. Rinse and repeat.
Oh, this is exactly the same of, wait, you know, okay, here's the model. You ready? They're going to come back, all this, and what else are they going to say? China has committed to buying quadrillion pounds of soybeans.
Oh, yeah, there has to be a soybean commitment.
Got
to
be a soybean commitment or it's not a China trip.
Yeah.
They're buying from our farmers. Buying from our farmers. So an inflation report today, CPI increased 0.6% month over month in April, as expected, following a 0.9% increase in March. That left total CPI up 3.8% year over year versus 3.3% just a month ago in March. Now, if you take out food and energy, something that neither of us use at all, CPI jumped 0.4% month over month, which is kind of where it was, but that was up from last month. Last month was only 0.2%. on a month-over-month basis for the core. So now if you look at CPI on a year-over-year basis, core CPI, CPI on a year-over-year basis, I think we're at 2.8%, and last month was 2.6. So that's up.
Up.
Food index was up 0.5%, up 3.2% year-over-year. Energy up 3.8%, 17.9% year-over-year. Shelter, housing, up, and rentals, et cetera, up 0.6% month over month, up 3.3% year over year. Used car, flat, interesting, down 2.7% year over year. Apparel, up a bunch, 0.6. Services, up 0.6. That was the one that's pretty hot, I thought, 0.6 for services index. So I thought that was interesting. Consumer confidence now, here's the discussion serving about this. We know that the University of Michigan came in at once again, the preliminary came in lower than last month, which meant and means that it's the lowest in history.
Yeah. Lowest in history. Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's important, but I started thinking
I'd
about
say.
It. Well, I started thinking about that and I looked at the conference board.
Here we go.
Here we go. What? What does that mean?
You're going to tell us what's really going on.
Well, if you look at the consumer confidence from University of Michigan, UMich, U of M, cost pressures, soaring prices at the pump. So problematic. 48.2 below the 50.5 consensus and lower than last month. But if you look at actually the components of the Michigan index, only about 1,000 people, I think, take this survey. So 1,000 people out of How many in the United States? 300 million? Minus kids. I'm just gonna round number. 100 women, older people. Blah, 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 blah. Let's say 150 million people. That's the real nut of it all, right? 1,000 people are calling the shots.
Yeah, well, you can do that with statistically if you pick the people correctly and everything is done on above board.
Yeah, but the problem is that that survey I found after I did a bunch of research on this is kind of slanted towards the inflationary component. That being the case, we're seeing inflation pick up, highest than it's been in the last 3 years. No wonder that that's showing what it's showing. And if you look at the conference board, which is equally important, I think, actually, which was better than last month, and doesn't look as terrible, by the way, that is more so tied with labor market perception and thoughts, where Michigan is more about inflation sensitive consumer feelings and attitudes.
Okay.
So I think
I'm still with you.
All I'm saying is that there's a discrepancy there, and then you throw in just this one other situation where consumers via retail sales, et cetera, are still spending like crazy people. So if you're really upset about stuff and you're thinking your future is doomed, are you going to go out you may go out and spend on alcohol and stuff like that and have a party. But if you're concerned you're the normal person and you don't think you're going to have a job or something like that in the next however long and prices are up and you're miserable about it, you're probably not going to be spending. But meanwhile, people are spending. So there's discrepancy going on.
Yeah, that is the conundrum, is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, so I think that if we take from now on this University of Michigan thing and discount it ever so slightly and add to it, though, the conference board measures, almost do a blending of the two to see both sides of the idea of, you know, what people think from a inflationary standpoint, but also what people think from a job outlook standpoint, I think we'll have a better time assessing what's really going on, because otherwise it makes no freaking sense what's going on.
Right.
So I was happy.
That's it?
Well, yeah, I was happy when I kind of really dug down a little bit deeper into this, because I was very disturbed for a number of months at how the University of Michigan was really sagging. And it was throwing me off in my concept of what was going on around the markets.
So you've decided to just ignore it.
Well, like everything else, of course. Got to ignore everything. Economics used to be the heart of everything that we did where we started. This top-down economic approach, macro investing, where you look at what's happening in the economy and you could tell 3, 6 months, a year from now, what's going to be happening, and then you can make some predictions and look at markets. That has been washed away right now for a bottoms-up analysis.
It began with quantitative easing.
Yes, that's true. Where there was no longer appropriate and proper price discovery, because there was so much money that flooded the markets that none of this mattered. Then you get COVID, by the way, and then you have to throw away all your charts. 50 to 100 years of charts totally obliterated in 1 year.
Yep. So yeah, they're not. Nothing's trustworthy anymore.
Nothing's trustworthy, and isn't that the intent?
Well, I don't know if it's the intent, but sure, it was definitely the result.
Yeah, but this is what happens when you are trying to, I think the political, not only these guys, all of them, the whole game, not just Trump, but you go back to Biden and whatever, you pick whoever you want to pick. It doesn't matter. I think the whole game is to confound and confuse, make it so untrustable that you don't even care what happens.
And so the market goes up.
Yep. Word of the day, thwarted. When's the last time you heard that word? Thwarted. It's like a Batman word.
It's a good word.
Thwarted. Google's threat intelligence group said hackers are using AI models such as OpenClaw to uncover and exploit zero-day software vulnerabilities. We haven't spent much time talking about OpenClaw. I think JC and I spent some time talking a little bit about this. This idea that we can have agents running on all sorts of things, yeah, and doing stuff on their own. Kind of reminds me of those movies that when dirt hits the floor, all of a sudden these robots come out of the closets and start cleaning up and then going back in after they shovel it all up.
Yeah, just like that.
So
that's going to happen.
The Google Threat Intelligence Group said it had high confidence that it recorded hackers using an AI model to find and exploit a zero-day vulnerability or a software flaw unknown to developers, creating a way to bypass two-factor authentication. The group said in the report that it was able to uncover and likely thwart an AI-developed attack. And, of course, we know that Anthropic delayed its Mythos model because of cybersecurity concerns. So I guess the question is, Mr. PC Magazine. What?
Once upon a time.
Well, okay, not that far away. Back article, by the way. How are we going to stop the hackers from using extremely powerful software like AI to hack? How are we going to stop them?
Well, what they're planning on doing, of course, is taking the better models that are coming out and giving them to the big companies that are vulnerable and letting them become the hackers on themselves and find the vulnerabilities and then release the code to the world at large and let the hackers know it'll be too late. That's how we stop them.
Try to be one step ahead.
Yeah, that's what you do. What difference is it? It's just, what's different now than ever before? It was always the same thing. You had to be one step ahead. And now the tools have changed a little bit, but you get the tool first. And you use the same tool on yourself. You hit yourself in the toe with a hammer and you decide that your big toe can't take it. So you wear steel-toed shoes and you're good to go.
But what happens if that one...
the worst analogy of history right there.
What happens that one time that the hacker's one step ahead?
It happens. It's always happened. It's happened before.
But this stuff is fast. This is fast and ever evolving.
What difference does it make?
Well, what I'm saying is, the other ones were slow and not they weren't as good at changing, moving, grooving, adapting. These AI models can adapt. So you got the hope of a thwart, but yet they're a step ahead, then they're two steps ahead, then they're three steps ahead. It's something that's going to have to be dealt with.
It's the least of my concerns.
That's the least. What's the most?
Now you boxed me in.
Sorry.
I'll have to think about it.
You'll think about it. Let's talk about the circular economy. Great graphic. Go over to DH Unplugged episode number, 802. And by the way, 802 is a nice round number. It has
this is a good graphic.
If you take the 8 and 802,
didn't I send this to you?
Yes, that's what I was going to get to in a moment, but I was going to talk about the 802 donations. But okay, I'll talk about that. Yes, you sent this to me. You want to talk about it?
No, it's just it's a classic. It shows you that this is a house of cards.
What this graphic does is it looks like a giant octopus with multiple tentacles that is feeding upon itself. Money goes out, money comes in. OpenAI gives money to NVIDIA, NVIDIA gives money to OpenAI. OpenAI gives money to Oracle. Guess what they do? They give money to Oracle, gives money to NVIDIA, who, by the way, gives money to OpenAI. And this goes round and round and round and round.
And the numbers we're dealing with, for example, NVIDIA, $4.5 trillion money flying around. Microsoft, what, $3.1 trillion? These are in trillions. This is ridiculous.
Everybody
thinks this is sustainable. They're crazy.
Do you remember a time when, well, at least I remember a time when you'd look at the Japanese market to like, this is trading at 3 trillion yen. I'm like, oh my God, how'd they get so bad? How'd they get to that point? And that's, we're here.
Yeah, and that's what happened to the Japanese market. It collapsed in, what was the 80s, and it took 30, 40 years to recover.
Oh, it took forever. You remember that? And it's finally now.
It's just now recovering.
Well, it's the last several years. Yeah.
Yeah, well, just now.
That was the you remember, that was the miracle of Japan, too. Everybody wanted to go outside and do Tai Chi in the morning, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, everybody. Yeah, I have a couple of books. Some of them are an embarrassment to the authors. They basically recommended we all become Japanese. They do everything better than we do. They make their cars. In fact, they do make better cars than we do. But it was like everything should be done the way the Japanese do things, completely ignoring the cultural differences. The Japanese do certain things, including making a good Lexus, you know, at their factory, or any sort of drawers, or if you look at their furniture, this some of the things that their precision engineering is fabulous, but they have a different way of seeing the world, and they do, and so it's a cultural thing that they can do certain things, and they were just, you know, kind of looked like they were kicking our ass back in the 80s to the point where we thought, well, maybe we should emulate them, and we were foolish. Because it brought their own culture brought them to a standstill.
Little history here that I just pulled up: 1986 to 1989, Japan's stock and real estate prices surged due to a loose monetary policy and speculation. December 1989, Nikkei hits an all-time high, about 38,900 at the time. Early 1990, government tightens policy, the bubble bursts. 1990-1992. Stock market collapses, real estate follows, banks accumulate bad debt. 1990s onward, what was called first the lost 10 years, then the lost 20 years, then it turned out to be the lost 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years.
30 years.
And it was a lot of it, you know, I just don't think the Japanese, that same mentality that makes these quality products is not the same mentality you want as a speculator.
Right.
And they were buying up all the property in Hawaii. And they bought the Rockefeller Center.
Pebble Beach?
Yeah, Pebble Beach. They were going to buy everything up. And then Rockefeller Center is my favorite example. At some point, just out of the blue, because of the deal, the way it was structured, and it wasn't going to turn into the great speculation they had hoped, they literally walked. They abandoned the property rather than try to stick it through the, refinancing or anything else. They just completely walked and let the banks have it.
Huh. Quite the time. That's when things were fun.
Yeah, before quantitative easing.
Mm-hmm. Now we have something else. You know, where there's something new, there's always the opportunity for someone to figure out, how can I make money off of this? And the big companies are, and the exchanges, they have ability to, you know, they have very easily ability to penetrate new markets almost instantly. So U.S. derivatives exchange CME Group and index provider Silicon Data are teaming up to create a futures market for computing power.
Oh, God.
So now the futures will help traders, supposedly, in financial firms, AI builders, and cloud providers manage volatility and price swings, according to the statement. So CEO Terry Duffy said, compute is the new oil of the 21st century. It creates a futures market that can help make the cost more transparent. Which, I'm thinking, seriously? Do we have to have futures market and speculate? All this is speculation. This is such crap. They just want to make money on this deal. One way more to pump this is now another way to inflate costs through a leveraged futures market in this compute concept and compute and energy markets related to AI.
Yeah.
So now it will help people hedge. So you got a major data center that's going to be like really ramping up the energy expenditure, and they want to hedge their pricing and all that. But other than that, it can go the other way too. It can go the other way pretty severely. And the other question is, what do they put in futures on? Is the energy from the utilities? Is it the nuclear energy that's supposed to be coming?
I have no idea.
Very strange. Some transparency in the private credit area, there's a new program plan to create faster mark-to-market markings. A lot of the same word there. Utilizing fast mark-to-markets, faster. So Apollo Global Management has been stepping up efforts to provide liquidity and price transparency in the private credit market. Let's just stop there. Because you could read these stories and be like, oh, that's interesting. It's a Apollo Credit, Apollo Global, has been stepping up efforts to provide liquidity in the private, let's just use that, not the price transparency, in the private credit market. Why? Because they got a problem. Apollo is a major private credit dude. You know, they Blackstone, Apollo, big problems. You know, Blue Owl is having all sorts of issues. They're getting all these requests for closing of accounts and then just giving back like 5-6%.
Yeah.
So why are they doing this? They're doing this because they need to figure out a way to change the narrative. And they're going to try to show this price transparency by saying that more than $830 billion of its credit assets will be priced daily by the end of September. Huh. Others in the industry not so happy about this. Like, what are you talking about? Well, how can we do something like that? We don't know what these numbers are. Well, of course they don't know what these numbers are. They're going to bullshit us right into this price. Oh, come on. It's just dumb. The idea is if they do this, maybe they'll calm investors down a little bit. And by the way, who sets the price on this stuff? Private credit.
They just make it up.
They make it up. So they're going to put some pricing on there that looks good. So people don't have to wait to see
it. Private credit market. Then these guys create these stocks.
Yep.
You know, these traded vehicles, and it's idiotic. You're just asking for trouble. I don't know whose idea this was.
That's the same thing as the story we just talked about creating futures on compute. It's just where there are shysters coming up with financial engineering somehow, there's going to be a market. And when you have greed on the other side and need to fund your retirement because you're afraid that Social Security is not going to be there, and you're concerned that, you know, my company no longer has a retirement plan. I'm in this myself, man. I got to do something to make the money I need, because $100,000 isn't going to last me very long in retirement.
No, not at all.
So most say, and I agree with this, is nothing more than lipstick on a pig. Congress looking to suspend the federal gas tax for a few months. Trump says, yeah, that's a good idea. The 18 cents national federal gas tax, which
I didn't even know we had a national federal gas tax.
Yeah, federal gas tax, it seems. 18 cents per gallon in effort
to... What's that money used for?
Ballrooms. I don't know. It's just it comes in. I don't know if there's... you think it's earmarked for something?
Well, you'd think. Just have rando taxes that just do nothing more than fill the general purpose coffer.
It's 18.4 cents per gallon for gasoline, 24 cents per gallon for diesel, highway trust fund. About 85% is for the highway and bridge infrastructure, which...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. Public mass transit, about 15%.
Oh, mass transit.
Yep. So all those beautiful trains that we have going on around our country, the crisscross railway system that has been so well created in our country, that's where it goes to. Public mass transit supports public transportation systems and helps reduce highway congestion, because a lot of people, you know, use public transit like in places like Florida. No, not. Mm. You got a lot there? Do you have a lot of... I mean, you have it in the major towns. Of course, you have your...
crap. They're junk. Yeah, Muni, they're all... They're robberies on the buses. It's ridiculous. And BART is, like, always broke. It's going to go out of business any minute, so they say. It's mismanaged. Everything is garbage.
Well, that's what you...
Transportation is a joke in California.
Well, around the whole country, it's a joke, I think. I
it's
mean,
a joke, period, yeah.
If anybody has never traveled... For those people who have never traveled, Sean, you're well-traveled. You know, you could say, if I picked a country, you'd be like, yep, Europe, most of Europe. Train system, how great is it?
Fabulous.
Fabulous. And everything in between, by the way. In some countries, they have like in Croatia, very many islands. Same thing with Greece. The boating and transportation, the hydrofoils, the small boats.
Well, you go to Venice and they have the vaporettos and the little boats. And
exactly.
They're essentially buses on water.
And it's smooth. It's orderly. And it works.
Yeah, and there's no people. Well, yeah.
They also take pride in what they do.
Beat up.
Well, they also take pride in what they do over there. And let's not forget China and Japan speed trains, the bullet trains. You've been on those, right?
I've never been on a bullet train.
Man,
I've been on the high speed trains in Europe.
Oh, I've been to like 220 miles an hour in China, like zipping. It's unbelievable. Let's see, how fast is the fastest?
Well, you want to get on the maglev. Apparently, they've got one in Japan that goes almost 400 miles an hour.
Let's see. Fastest bullet train is 370 miles an hour. Yeah, that's the maglev. April 2015, it was put in, by the way. China's Shanghai maglev, that's the one I went. That's the one I went on, 268 miles an hour. The fastest conventional wheel on rail in China. Oh, maybe I went on this one. The Fuxing, 220 miles an hour. Yeah, that's fun. Zip, you get right there. Zip, and you're just looking out the window. You got to like pay attention. Zip, zip.
Bzz, bzz, oh, yeah, it's just a blur.
Stuff is going by. It's great. So we'll see what happens. War's not over. By the way, they're looking to do this, the lifting of the gasoline tax. They said gasoline tax. They didn't say diesel. I find that interesting, but maybe it's both. When? Through like October 23rd. What's a week after that? Give you a guess.
The elections.
Of course. So all this is trying to reduce this down into the elections, then you're screwed after that. Right back up. Kevin Hastett's been on TV talking about AI not costing anybody their jobs right now. We, I think, debunked that last week, even though tech continues all the layoffs and all that. So why bother even listening to these guys? Any of the politically fed news stations, you know who those are, right? There's a bunch of them. Why are we even, does anybody, why? Why?
I think people just, I don't know, to reaffirm their previously held beliefs. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So they basically want to have confirmation of what they believe for that confirmation bias topper. Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. I knew that was the case. Yes, there's aliens. You see that? We released all these UFO files. Why are aliens always blurry?
Yeah. And where's the body? Where's the bodies?
It's crazy. What do they eat? So many questions I have about this.
Well, there was a lot of them were self-contained.
So, it's a constant nourishment cycle? Well, maybe.
I don't know how it works, but it's advanced.
This week we dive deep into the whole idea about AI. This week that's running right now on AI and the job. So we talked about it last week on this show, but we really got into it on the Disciplined Investor podcast last week. This week, the one that's running. Asian markets, very interesting. Up 78% last year, up 81% this year. The market cap has increased $2.7 trillion over the past year. The big gains have been concentrated primarily in Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix. Individual rallies of these stocks upwards, 382% over the last year. I got this cough I cannot get rid of. It's like going on a month already.
Oh, there's a couple of coughs going around that do that.
It's just a little bit, especially at night. It's a little bit coffee. All right, what else we got here? Retail trade added 22,000 jobs in April. We talked about that. So that's kind of interesting. Analysts, big upgrades. Oh, boy, this is one of the reasons, again, why are markets going up? Analysts are, first of all, companies and analysts are pushing the numbers pretty hard. Looking at double-digit gains on earnings growth over the next year, revenues are up. About 80% of companies beat analyst expectations, both on revenue and on earnings, and guided higher. You see things like, for example, Seagate Tech, the price being raised from $750 to $1,000 by the end of the year, or out of 1 year. You know, they're citing these, you know, hard disk drive, pricing power, strong AI data center demand backdrop, all this. Goldman Sachs upgraded to buy and raise its price target dramatically on AMD from 240 to 450.
Yikes.
Bernstein is up to 525. So this is what's going on. You wonder why stocks are up 15-20% after earnings. They put the earnings out. There's some extraordinary number. And, you know, Intel, which, by the way, was my favorite short, still is. We got stopped out of. We'll talk about that in a bit. But down about 9-10% today after the shine was off the rose a little bit there. UBI, we talked about this for a second, but let's talk about what's actually going on in South Korea with all of the incredible gains on the stock market over the last year or so. And, you know, this concentration on a few companies. South Korea said they should consider institutional ways to redistribute potential excess tax revenues generated by the AI infrastructure boom to help ease inequities that could deepen an AI-driven era. This is from Top Aide. President Kim proposed the principle tentatively named National Dividend, or Citizens Dividend, they sometimes call it. So I guess they're talking about this. Even in a post, he explained that the central question of the AI era is not simply about growth rates, but about how to socially stabilize excess profits. Kind of a windfall profit tax. Now, this is, forget about Kevin Hassett saying that AI is not, you know, we're not losing any jobs. But if you really extrapolate this for a number of years, we know the concept, what's going on. Do you think this UBI is going to gain steam? Like a standardized UBI, which is kind of like Social Security for all at every age, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is bankrupt.
Well, not technically, it shouldn't be, because you're not supposed to, that money is supposed to be kept separate from the general fund when it has not been. It's been raided by the government over and over again.
Right. So now it's just the backed by the full faith and credit of the taxpayer.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. There's money in, you know, money into the Social Security. So what do you think about this UBI?
What about it? Do I think it's going to go anywhere? It's going to be a lot of talk. Yak, yak, yak. It's not, nothing's going to come of it. They're going to experiment here and there, and it's going to work out. They're going to find some examples where all they do is buy drugs with the money.
Oh.
It's just going to be, a talk gab fest.
But it's going to be used politically as a tool, don't you think?
Well, you can try. But, you know, the other side can use it, too, by saying, oh, they just want to give your money away to these other people that don't want to work. I mean, despite the fact you can't get a job in some instances, you're tarred with the label, doesn't want to work. And that works politically quite well. And it has worked before. It'll continue to work for decades. This is UBI is not going. I don't see it getting very far.
I would tend to agree with you that I just think in a period where there is so many giveaways, from stimulus to tax breaks to
fraud.
Well, but whatever you want to call it, whatever the giveaway is, I just think there's one more thing that's going to catch fire with a particular group. Look, would this be something that would happen with Mondami? Mondami would be all over this, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, not calculating and doing any of the work to figure out where the money's freaking coming from, but the concept. And then you have people which basically would say, well, that sounds good to me. I love the idea. All these people are making all this money over these, and you know, the numbers. You looked at the numbers a moment ago on that chart, and you're talking about numbers that have so many zeros, you have to stop for a second when you look at them to figure out what the number actually is.
Yeah.
And,
billions.
You know, so we look at this and we say, well, you know, how is this going to play? I think this is going to be played by the liberal / socialistic style of the political groupings that are heavily swayed into the need to do not anything with principles, but with populism. It's not about changing this or changing that. It's giveaways. That's what it seems like these elections around the world are all about right now.
Well, there's some truth to that.
So that's where I stand on that. I don't think it's going to go anywhere either, but I think it's going to be used as a tool. The concept, the discussion.
We'll see.
Just like what's happened. I mean, New York, isn't that what happened?
Yeah, yuck. A lot of it has to do with social media, too.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Black Ink, let's talk about this. Calibee, I think that's how it's pronounced, Calibee, is going to switch its brightly colored packaging to black and white because the war has disrupted the supply of certain raw materials used in ink. Now, there's a potato chip brand. It was known for its brightly colored bag design, said 14 of its products would switch to monochrome branding by the end of May. Because the printing ink...
What product this is?
Okay, you don't know a product?
I never heard of it.
It's in Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a Japanese company.
So I'm looking at the packaging now.
Printing ink requires naphtha. Did you ever hear this? Naphtha?
Yeah, naphtha. It's a volatile hydrocarbon.
So it says an oil derivative, petrochemical byproduct, I guess, for which Japanese relies on imports from the Middle East for about 40% of its consumption. So what do you think of those bags?
Well, the black one is stylish, but it's not very attractive.
You know something also different about it?
There's no potato.
Okay, what else? Look at the whole... I went line by line.
Oh, yeah, 5 grams less to get gypped.
Yep, how do you like that?
Yeah, good trick. A little shrinkflation there for everybody.
Yep, the old one, the color one was 60 grams, and the new one is 55 grams. And it doesn't even show you what it is. It's ugly, to be honest with you. So
yeah, there's no potato chips.
No potato chips. There's no, what does it say, potato? In English, by the way,